This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. Inside the San Bruno Jail No. 5 is the Five Keys Charter School. It's one of the nation's first high schools within a jail, and it's the subject of a documentary called The Corridor. KALW's Leela Day sat down with documentarians Annalise Wunderlich and Richard O'Connell to find out more.
I think what makes it different from the many GED programs and even college programs that are available in prisons is that it was the first county jail to actually have a real charter high school built, custom built inside it. The school is a fully accredited California. They have to take a California state exit exam. It's a real high school diploma as opposed to a GED, which does make a real difference.
And so what's been the reaction from some of the inmates to being a part of this program?
There are people there who immediately adapt, and they see this as a great opportunity and they really take advantage of it. And of course, they get their diploma. But there are people there then who don't feel that it's a good idea to be there, that the city or the county is earning money from their participation. And at times, as we focus on in the film, they're often not sure what some of the things they're learning has to do with them.
How much does it cost per student to invest in a high school diploma in jail versus outside of jail? Do we know that?
You know, we don't know the cost, but they calculate a savings from actually putting, these students through school program versus through just going straight into the general population. And the calculations are based on the fact that these people have lower recidivism. They're less likely to come back in. They're less likely to commit crime.
It's just interesting to have this program, you know, in an actual jail. Like, many of us would look at it and say, why wasn't something like this available, or why weren't the resources put into these men before they even got in jail, right?
Most of the characters that we spoke with on camera talked about having a very negative experience in their public school education as children. A lot of them had undiagnosed learning disabilities. They came from violent communities where they experienced a lot of trauma and never received counseling. So for a lot of factors, they ended up dropping out of high school because they didn't feel like that was a good pathway for them.
The one thing that we find about the school is there is an approach here, and it's not just about education. It's about their concept is, generally speaking, restorative justice. And so that's in the thinking. And the first thing they try and do is actually provide people with hope. They bring them in. They try and get them back to normal if they've been on drugs, rehabilitate them somehow over the first couple of weeks, and slowly but surely bring them up to a place where they can actually decide themselves whether this is a good idea for them or not. As Annalise said, there are other programs they can take on. But many choose this because it means they're out of their cells, they're actually interacting with other people. It's interesting more than sitting around watching television. And so there's a lot of very good reasons why they're actually taking part.
So we're actually going to go to a clip right now. This is teacher Maisha Lake. Tell us a little bit about Maisha's class.
Maisha is a literature teacher at the school, and she was teaching, when we filmed her, she was teaching a class about William Blake's poetry, and in particular, The Poison Tree. And the students really had a strong reaction to the poem and saw a lot of direct parallels with their own lives.
And the title itself is a what?
Analogy.
Okay, analogy or a metaphor?
A metaphor.
A poison tree. When you think of trees, do you generally think of poison?
No.
No, we think of trees as being something that are what?
Giving.
Life-giving, okay, nurturing, maybe, for healing or health. But this is a poison tree. What poisons this tree?
Anger.
That's another good word for anger.
Wrath.
We do not need our thesaurus.
Maisha is just a great teacher. She's got this warm, almost motherly quality with her students, and she's really determined to make them realize the hard work involved with being your best self and try to strengthen them in that.
This is where you are, but this is not where you fit. You fit somewhere else. So when you this is temporary. When you find where you fit, you stay where you fit and not come back, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so nobody fits here at all, okay?
So what's different about the types of teachers that are teaching in a jail?
One of the challenges of being in this institution is, we talk about it in the film, is the clash of cultures. And to a certain extent, the teachers arguably are incarcerated as well for this period during the day. They are in a room that is guarded outside by deputies. And so there is that dynamic between the students and the teachers, and between the teachers and the deputies, and between the deputies and the students. And it's very interesting.
The teachers are not allowed to know anything about the crimes of any of their students. There's a very strict policy at the school that they cannot do that research, and if they do, they got to keep it to themselves. And that's part of this philosophy of treating every student as an individual, unique from their crime.
And I just want to add, because I think this is, it's important to mention that there is a, the big thing here is, and you asked earlier, why isn't this done everywhere? This is a hassle. This is not easy. If this was easy, people would be doing it. This is a big deal. You know, it is dangerous. You know, there is panic buttons in the room where if the teacher presses the panic button, and they do happen and fights do break out, 20 or 30 deputies rush into that room. And actually, there is a lot of the teachers suffering from, PTSD just because they've seen fights or been part of, issues that have occurred in the classrooms.
And I mean, there are high school GED programs in prison, but in jail, it's not that common. I mean, they have shorter sentences as well. So is there what happens when someone starts the program and then maybe they're released? And are you finding that people are still continuing on?
Yeah, this is a great question, because it gets at what we didn't capture in our film, which is a huge part of the school, which is that they have many facilities and programs outside of jail. So the idea is that after the students get released, they can continue on the same program through Five Keys Charter School to earn the credits they need to get their diploma. And they even have two different graduation ceremonies, one for students that are in custody and another for the students that are out of custody.
And interestingly, one of our characters actually is released and comes back in while we're shooting. And so she actually goes back into class twice, and which is it was something we really wanted to capture, because it is about the revolving door and it is about those challenges. And she can't even talk about step by step. She talks about second by second.
So something else I'd love for listeners to hear is this clip from Keith Kimmins on graduation day. Let's have a listen.
I dropped out of high school. I've been to several trade schools, never completed any of them. And I've been to four different drug programs, but never finished any of them either. I would get close to finishing, but right when it got toward the end, I'd get scared. I guess I was scared of being successful, so I sabotaged myself. But at this stage of my life, at 59 years old, I stand up here and I can say, I have finally completed something.
That was Keith Kimmins, who graduated from the Five Keys Charter School in San Bruno Jail. I'm speaking with Annalise Wunderlich and Richard O'Connell, directors of a film called The Corridor. So, talking about recidivism, we don't know really what the fate of some of these men and women are going to be, but, you know, it's hopeful. It's hopeful, and people like Keith Kimmins, who participated in this program, can you tell us a little bit about, like, where they are now?
Well, I mean, just to talk about the clip for a second, because, you know, it's one of our favorite pieces that we captured. And but to us, and you had asked earlier about recidivism, I mean, he encapsulated, you know, what the school is trying to do, where he had failed all his life, and then he did something that he actually achieved. And that is like a domino effect. In suddenly you actually have a different experience, and you experience that you can actually do things and get things done, and there's hope. And even at 59, it just felt so powerful that, you know, having lived most or a good chunk of his life, that finally he had actually experienced that. And it was very, very powerful. I mean, that room, everyone was very emotional that day after he spoke. I want to say, though, I think that Keith is also a good example of the fact that you just need a greater focus on education and resources to keep people in school at an earlier age, because, you know, I mean, this is essentially what the film is about, is the fact that really everybody needs the same level of education, and whatever the resources are put into that for communities that are more challenged with that, that's what needs to happen.
Those were filmmakers Annalise Wunderlich and Richard O'Connell speaking with KALW's Leela Day. The Corridor documentary is still in production, and they're raising funds for completion. You can find out more by visiting our website, kalw.org.